time to listen different with Podcast 411, the podcast that brings you the 411 on podcasts, podcasters, and podcasting.
Welcome to the April 30th show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 podcast. On today's show, our guest will be Sam Whitmore from the Closet Deadhead podcast. But before we get into the interview, a couple quick notes. One, an update on my Verizon saga. Two phone calls later, and still Verizon is completely incompetent. They still have not gotten the number changed. We were called yesterday, and we were assured, promised, guaranteed that that number would be changed by the end of the day. By the end of the day, was the number changed? No. Called back today and talked to someone who gleefully told us there was nothing they could do because it's the weekend. Well, we'll be calling Verizon again on Monday, and we'll see how it goes from there. I will update you on the next podcast. Verizon, you're a bunch of incompetent boobs. Oh, and to make matters even worse, we called the number where they had changed it to, the incorrect number. We called to talk to the lady to see, you know, if there's any messages or anything. And she's like, I no understand English. No problem. No understand English. Number okay. So we can't even get any messages to the wrong number they're forwarding our phone calls to. On the second note, just want to let you know, I recorded an interview yesterday with Rick from Feedburner. And we're going to be playing that interview late next week, probably the Saturday podcast. Anyone else is out there that is in services related to podcasting, whether you're doing hardware, software, or hosting services for podcasters, please, you know, shoot me an email at rob@podcast411.com. I'd love to get you on here, interview you, talk about your product, service, any advice you might have to podcasters and how your product or service can help podcasters. Well, we're going to go ahead and get into the interview here with Sam from the Closet Deadhead podcast. Here we go.
Sam, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rob.
And I'll start you out with the traditional first question, and that is, what was your first computer?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm almost 49 years old, so I can say that my first computer was an Apple II Plus, which I bought used, along with a Gorilla Banana printer, and I spent $600 for it. It had 48K of memory, and it really didn't do very much, but I was proud to have it.
Yeah, it's amazing when you think back, 48K of memory. And you were able to use it.
Yeah, I used it to calculate my my automobile mileage, which I could have used a calculator for, and I wrote my music reviews on it. I was a freelance writer at the time, and I wound up, I used a typewriter, and the landlord used to bang on the ceiling because I would get up at 6 in the morning and use a typewriter to write the reviews, and I was waking him up. So my friend said I should get a computer because it doesn't make the tappy-tap noise, and I can also word process. I didn't know what that meant. So I've been using computers now for 22 years.
I bet you it was a big difference when you moved over to a word processor from a typewriter.
Yes, it was. I could get rid of all my liquid paper and correct type. Still made as many mistakes, but the thing was that I was always into radio. I had a my first radio job was 1974. I was an intern as early as 71, so I was always an audio person first. And so the confluence of computing and audio just suits me really well.
So basically, you've been waiting almost 30 years for podcasting.
Well, I'm very happy that it came along because it allows me to leverage a lot of my background in a very compact and efficient way and a fun way. But I made my living as a reporter. That's how I was able to make my way in the business world.
What was the first podcast you listened to?
I think it was IT Conversations. I remember, in fact, I did an interview last fall with Steve Gilmore and Doc Searles and Dana Gardner about the Gilmore Gang, which was part of IT Conversations. And in preparation for that, I went to Doug Kay's site, and I have to say, I didn't really understand the magnitude of what I was looking at. I think with lots of people, it just takes a little bit of time to settle in and looking at just what revolutionary a concept it is and how exciting it is. So that was in October of 2004.
What podcasts are you listening to today on a regular basis?
Okay, I can tell you right now. Podcast 411, Closet Deadhead, PK and J, Morning Coffee Notes with Dave Weiner, Adam Curry, IT Conversations, the Godcast Network Behind the Scenes, Geek News Central, Sex Geeks, Illinois, The Eric Rice Show, Podcast Brothers, Evil Genius Chronicles, Dreadful Snake Radio, Don Drew, Coverville, and Barefoot Radio.
Now, Sex Geeks I'm not familiar with.
You know, it's only come in once, and I figured I had to at least touch that base and find out what that was about, and I got one show, and that's been it, so maybe it's been discontinued.
Yeah, there are dead podcasts out there. I mean, the dead.com, someone is going to come out with a website here soon, it'll be deadpodcast.com, and just, a list of all the ones that have gone, or rippodcast.com or something like that. And just have a list of the podcasts that have died. And what's sad is there was one that I really liked that is gone, and it was called My Pod's Forecast, and it was a short little podcast where a guy used his testicles to predict the future.
Well, I hope he predicted his own future carefully.
Evidently not, yeah. It was a funny form, brother. He dropped them, and if it was the right testicle was in the front, it was a yes, and if the left was in the front, it was a no. But it was from Britain, too, so with the British accent, it made it even funnier.
Well, I'll tell you something along these lines. I just got an RSS feed from Steve Rebell. There's word of a search engine specifically for podcasting that's supposed to be debuting later in April. It's called Podscope, and I think that would change the dynamics, because I think so many people go to either the Podcast Alley or iPodder.org and look at the top shows, and this would be a much more democratic way of hearing new podcasts by searching by topic and subject matter.
Let's talk about your podcast now. Tell our listeners about the format and content of your podcast.
This one's called Closet Deadhead. It's designed to appeal to people that enjoy Grateful Dead music, but live in a world that the Grateful Dead is either ridiculed or made fun of or dismissed. And let's face it, people who like the Grateful Dead are often stereotyped as either drug takers or people that don't bathe, or all they eat are veggie burritos, and there's a lot of baggage that goes with that. So sort of politically speaking, I'm trying to tear down those stereotypes. And also musically, I've been a fan for 31 years. Saw my first show in 74. I have a huge collection of Grateful Dead and related music, which many Dead heads do, so it's a way for me to get my radio fix, because as I said earlier, I've been a radio audio person for a long, long time. So all of those things sort of come together in podcasting.
Now, I noticed on your show you seem to have usually an interview of some sort up front, followed by some music, a little bit more talking, followed by some more music. Is that the kind of the format you're trying to go with for each show?
In general, Rob, yeah. Not every podcast will have an interview. Sometimes I'll take one interview and spread it over two parts. The first interview I did in the second podcast was about 10 minutes long without any breaks or interruptions. And I got some advice from radio producers, one in particular that I know. And she said, that's too long. It needs to be broken up. So now I punctuate an extended interview with a song or sound effect or whatever, just to keep the pacing a little bit brisker. But for the most part, yeah, I try to mine the community, because podcasts don't have to mimic radio. They can be, as you well know, something totally unique. And so I'm trying to involve the audience as much as possible, and that's actually going quite well.
Now, I noticed on your last one you mentioned good news about the licensing issue from Warner Brothers.
Yes, that's right. Brian Ibbett from Coverville and me and a couple of other people are out there playing licensed music. And so in March, shortly after, only a few days after I started Closet Deadhead, I went to New York and wrote checks to ASCAP and BMI, and they told me that there were two other kinds of licenses that I need. One was a manufacturing license because I was creating digital copies of music. That technically made me a manufacturer. And I also needed performance rights, not just songwriting rights, but performance rights, and generally the record companies own those, overseen by RIAA. So to make a long story short, I've been going down the list of people I need to talk to. And apart from ASCAP and BMI, Rob, every single organization I've spoken with says we don't really know what we want to do about podcasting. There is no podcasting license, and we advise you to just keep on going. And if we do come up with a podcast license for RIAA Music, it will probably be enforced from this day forward and not retroactively. And that was both from Warner Brothers and Harry Fox Agency, so that's good enough for me.
That's very good news for, you know, a lot of the listeners out there that are doing their own podcasts that have music in there. I'm sure they're happy to hear that.
But I would stress that you do need ASCAP or BMI or CSAC songwriting licenses, which means the people that actually wrote the song need to be paid. Whether the record companies have their act together or not, the songwriters still need to be paid, and those organizations do have specific podcast licenses.
Can you tell our listeners where to locate your podcast and website?
ClosetDeadhead.com is the one-page, homepage-only website that I have. It's pathetic, but I just haven't had the time to build it out. I'm not sure that I ever will build it out really vigorously. And then Slapcast.com is the provider that I use to post the podcast. And let me give you the URL for that. You can hear all of the podcasts we've done, all 12 so far now, at slapcast.com/users/closetdeadhead.
When you're doing your recording, what hardware and software are you using to put together your podcast?
I use SoundForge now from Sony. They bought that from, I forget who, a few years ago. And that's pretty industrial strength editor. It has all the ability to mutate the sound and clean it up and all that. I don't really use, aside from a 10 or 20 band graphic EQ equalizer, I don't really use that many utilities on SoundForge. I have to tell you, though, I heard about a utility called MP3 Gain, G-A-I-N. It's a free utility. You can download it off the internet. You just search for it on a search engine to find it. And that automatically normalizes an MP3 file so that it doesn't peak beyond -9 dB. And as the makers of MP3 Gain explained, that commercial radio is compressed in such a way that it never peaks below, it never peaks above minus 6 on high peaks, and it's basically around minus 9. So MP3 gain automatically normalizes MP3 files. I've used it very recently, only in the last week, and it really makes a difference. I wish I had it earlier. So those are the two pieces of software that I use, SoundForge and MP3 gain.
MP3 gain, is that Mac, PC, both? Do you know?
Don't know. I'm a Windows person, so...
Well, it's on the Windows at least. Okay. Any other advice you'd like to offer out to those looking to start a podcast today?
Stay ahead of it. It's a lot less fun if you find yourself on deadline all the time. It might be good to just assign yourself a podcast weekend and create three or four and have them in the bank. So if you get busy at work or if you travel or if you get sick or... out-of-town guests come in or whatever. I think one of the important things about building an audience is frequency.
Okay. Well, keep up the good work. And, Sam, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Rob. And keep on raising the art. We all need it.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Sam Whitmore from the Closet Deadhead podcast. If you'd like to locate that podcast, please go to www.closetdeadhead.com. Thanks again, Sam, for being on the show. If you out there would like to be on the show, please send an email with or without promos to podcast411@gmail.com. That's podcast411@gmail.com. And one last comment. It's that time of the month. Well, actually, it's the end of the month, which means by the time you hear this and I put this up, it'll be the beginning of May. It's time for me to whore for votes at Podcast Alley. So I know there's a lot more listeners out there just based on the feedback I get for each show than I'm getting votes in a whole month. So if you listen to the show and you like the show, please, you know, it takes me about 4 or 5 hours to put together the show. All I ask is 5 minutes of your time to head over to Podcast Alley and put in a vote for Podcast 411. I try not to whore again in this month. Let's see how the voting goes, and hopefully this is the last time you'll have to hear this comment until next month. At the end of today's show, our promo is from the John and Wayne Show, so please stick by and listen to the promo from the John and Wayne Show podcast. Until the next time, this is Rob at Podcast 411, reminding you to listen different.
Where can you find controversial, uncensored talk, contests worth entering, and music from bands that you may grow to love? The John and Wayne Show.
Not to be confused with the Duke.
You'll hear music like this.
The Banana Fish.
And Oklahoma's own
Rainy Day Collapse.
For more, visit www.johnandwayneshow.com. There you'll find out what kind of people actually listen to these two fourth grade dropouts drool into the mic on a weekly basis.